to be here on today. Amen. We are still in the land of the living, and God is still the God of blessings.
Yes.
Amen. I give honor and praise to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We honor and recognize your pastor, my friend, Pastor Horsley, and to all of the pulpit guests, to everybody assembled in the household of prayer, be it here, there, or anywhere on this Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Lord, have mercy. Y'all just don't know. I had church this morning. And the things I was having church with couldn't speak a word. But they all talk back. You see, I do that thing that others don't do. I look at God's creation early in the morning. And I have myself some time with God and his creation before I deal with man. So early this morning, there was a buzz on the porch. I sat in my rocking chair and listened and watched several hundred hummingbirds, and I said that right. Several hundred hummingbirds buzzing around the feeders. And I said, that's good, Lord. Then when I went to my chicken pen and opened up my chickens, and 120 chickens come running out.
Come on now.
All over my feet. I said, that's good, Lord. I strolled by my goat pen, and the big Billy walked up to the pen, leaned his head over, and said, bye. I said, that's good, Lord. Finally, my dog come running across the cornfield with a dead rabbit in his mouth. I said, that's good, Lord. He's already got breakfast. We've got to learn how to appreciate the order that God put life in. We're so busy looking at other stuff that we miss the gems that God has placed around us. I'm on preaching a little bit. See, what I have learned is I'm not ashamed of being a farmer. Let me check my fingernails, see if I see it. Okay. I got the dirt, most of the dirt from under them. But see, there are too many people that are ashamed of the gift that God has given you. It ain't everybody that can get up before daylight and tend to that soil and be glad about it.
Yes, sir. To God be the glory.
I don't have a long clock. Don't even own one. But I wake up the same time every day. I'm going to enjoy God today. So, yeah, pastor told me that I could take my time and just enjoy myself here today. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're going to move on. Thank you, me and Corey. Y'all still allowing me to sing with you. And that's, after all these years, that's a great thing for me. These brothers here made me feel so good out here at rehearsal. They did. They know how to pump you up and make you feel good about what you're doing. But there is a scripture that I would like for us to consider. It is a passage of scripture that we have read many, many times, and it comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to do 26 and 27, but we've got some companion scriptures that's going to go along with this. Thank you, Lord. Now, the custom in this house is to remain seated. You are free to sit or you're free to stand. Amen. So we're not going to, that's the last thing that we're going to have to do battle with. Amen. Now, the word of God here says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Fast forward, chapter 2, verse 7. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, the thought that I would like for us to consider is, are you the man God intended? Are you the man God intended? You see, we live in a world where we are trying to be convinced to be everything except the man God intended. We have been told many times that we don't look like. Thank God it ain't about our looks. We don't look like that we are much. But a diamond doesn't have to have a whole lot. It's the stuff on the inside that makes the difference. Said, and God breathed into his nostrils. Man became a living soul. Because we accept the fact that we the man. Sometimes we feel exempt from our Creator's directive. You see, God gave us instructions when he made us. And he has not changed his instructions. But we are trying to convince others that we are exempt from what God told man he had to do. We try to convince others that we are more than God said we are because the world doesn't like to follow God's directive. Because we are the man. We feel like we are privileged, Lord, have mercy, to do and to say whatever we want to say. Because we the man. We have used that phrase to hide behind for years. I'm the man. Well, if you the man, is the stuff in you what God intended? If you the man, do you resemble what the original directive is if you the man? I didn't say if you the male. You see, when I consider this, God was very specific when he got ready to make man. When he made all of the rest of the creatures, God said, and I made them. He spoke them into existence. But when he got ready to make a man, God himself said, I got to put my special touch on this. All right. I'm going to make this one that's going to look like me. All right. Are you the man that God intended? God says, I'm going to make this one to walk like I walk. Bible says his feet hollowed out the deep places of the earth. And then we said God had no feet. Come on, somebody. And budged up the mountains. And then God gave us feet. And we don't want to walk right. Come on, somebody. Because we are the man, we feel like we are able to treat others with disdain and disrespect. Because we the man. Don't mind acting a fool because we demand. Anybody don't like it, take it up with somebody else because I just don't care. Are you the man God intended you to be? See, it's not about the way you think. It's about the way God thinks. Because we're the man, we try to destroy anybody that does not think or act or even look like we do. Aren't you glad God didn't make every man to look just like you? I would get so sick of looking at me, I wouldn't know what the world to do. If every time I looked in a mirror, every time I saw somebody walking, they looked that like just like me. After a while, I would say, Lord, can't you do a blemish or something? Change you, make me bald, make me gray, make me tall, make me short, make me fat, make me slim, make me have deep eyes, make me have buds. Do something different, Lord. And God said, that's just what I did. But all of us have got something in common. No matter how we look on the outside, no matter what's going on the inside, there is something familiar in every man. There is something. What is a man? Fashioned after God's own design. What is a man? And I beg to differ with Webster's definition. Webster wasn't there when God decided to make that man. Webster tried to define him as the male gender of the human race. But I got news for you. God didn't say, I'm going to make me a male. God said, I'm going to make me a man. He's going to have our image in our likeness. He's going to look like us and walk like us. He's going to talk like us. And I'm going to give him something I'll give nobody else. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And so God breathed into him. He became a living soul, gave him a little bit of himself. So what makes us different? What makes us different from the great apes of the world? They've got 5 digits on their hands, just like we do. They can stand up, just like we do. They can get all ugly, mad, and mean, just like we do. But the reality here is they are 7 times stronger than a man. But go back to Genesis. What did God tell man to do? God said, I want you to have dominion over the animal that's able to break you into. Are you the man? Because when we realize that we got the stuff of God on the inside, there is no creature that can have dominion over us because God has empowered us with a little bit of himself and just a little teeny itsy bitsy tiny bit of God. Yes, sir. Is all it needs to rule the great animals of the world. Oh, you don't need to have a great army behind you. The Bible tells us when God is in the mixture, you are already a majority.
Yes.
God and his creation always represents the majority. As long as that creation operates in God. Scientists say that in the process of time, some of us who were all apes learned how to talk and how to think, cognitive recognition. But then some of those apes just got stuck in a rut, and they're still apes today. But God said, I made them all. But I didn't give them what I gave you. I gave you a little bit of me. I gave you that part of me where you can look up in the heavens and say, thank you, because there's a God up there. An ape only looks at what he's got to eat. He's only responsible for what he has to do. And we now, God said, I want you to dress and keep this. I want you to have some dominion, some rule. I want you to dress and keep. I want you to be able to manage what I've given you.
Yes, sir.
We're not men because we can build great walls to keep out animals. We're not men because we can build machines that take us to the heavens and we can fly. God made birds that can do that by themselves. But we are men because we got something on the inside that connects to God himself. We are men because we are able now, as the song was singing, Lord, I know you've been good. When I look back over all of my life, when I look back over my dark days, I look around and all my friends had gone and all of my family had gone and even sometimes church folk have walked out and left me. But when I look toward the heaven, the Bible says, I always see God. So now am I the man, God, that you would have me to be? Am I that kind of man that others might be able to appreciate seeing the God in me, because the ugly in me is easy to see? Come on, y'all. Don't act like you ain't got no ugly in you. Push us just the right way, and the ugly comes out. And see, the ugly ain't got nothing to do with the way you look. The ugly's got something to do about the way you act, the way you talk, the way you treat one another. If you come home, Daddy, and everything in the house has got to run, that's the ugly coming out of you. When you come home and your children sit in the corner and tremble because they are afraid of you, Daddy, that's the ugly coming out of you. When you come home and you ripping and raring and want to argue with everybody, come on, brothers, don't act like you, that's the ugly coming out of you. But when you get there and everybody glad to see you and they want to love up on you and they want to hug you, that's the joy of the Lord coming out you. See, the Bible says there's a part of God in every man, but we've got to let it come out. See, God won't force you to be kind. He won't force you to have joy. He won't force you to love nobody. He won't force you to do the right thing. But if you will do the right thing, God says, I got a reward for all of your efforts. But you the man. You the man, not because you know how to fight. Push pin. I saw a boxing match this week, flipping through the channel, because there ain't nothing much on there. I would like to watch anyway. And the only thing that was up there, they were doing the announcements of the fighters. They announced the featherweight, and these two guys came in there. The other one announced the lightweight, and these two guys. And then they had the medium weight and the cruiser. And they announced the heavyweight. Then they announced the female boxers. And these two ladies came out there and squared off against each other. And I'm glad I ain't got to be on the receiving end. They squared off out there, and you could hear, toot, toot, toot. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Keep me sane. Keep me where I'm at. So it's not our ability to fight that makes us the man. If you really want to know what makes us the man, it's our ability to love. Our ability to love. To love who? To love those not only that love you back, but the one that don't love you. That's what determines whether you got the stuff on the inside. Because folk gonna jerk your chain. Whether you got love or not will determine whether you turn to fists or whether you turn to God. Many of us, we know how to use these, but do you know how to use these?
Yes, sir. Great, great, sir.
But you the man. We are men because we've got something truly special. We've got a heart that longs for the presence of God. We've got a heart that longs for peace if you're the man that God intended you to be. We've got a heart that wants to make things right even when things go wrong. If you demand, if you demand that God would have you to be, your desire is not to see how many folks you can upset. Because the Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers. God wants you to be men of Lord's sake, of a gentle spirit, of a kind heart, of a giving spirit. Of that kind of spirit where folk want to be around you. Not that kind of thing where you dead. I dare you to leave. You don't want to be here. Get your hat. Because I ain't forcing you to be nowhere. God says, I have given you, man, a free will. I want you to serve me not because I force you to, but because you choose to. If you look in the garden, when God put man in the garden, he gave man directives, said, I want you to have dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing, the cattle. I want you to have dominion over everything. Then he said, and I give you now the permission to eat from every tree that bears fruit within this garden. But then he said, there's only one. Lord, have mercy. There's only one that I don't want you to touch. I want you to have something there that you can be obedient to. So, man, I'm gonna put something in front of you that looks good, but you ought not to touch. I'm gonna put something in front of you that would be tasty to eat. Folk keep calling it an apple. That's not what God said it is. He just said it's that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And see, a lot of us get a little bit out of shape over this, but don't you know that we are the only creature God created that's not doing what God said to do? We're the only one. Eagles still swoop down and eat up rabbits. Dogs still bark and bite. Earthworms still crawl through the ground. Mosquitoes still bite you when you want to be rested. Then God said, I looked at my man. And I told my man, I want you to be a man of kind heart. I want you to dress this garden. I don't want you to destroy my creation. I don't want you to be a monument that causes torrential floods in places. Uh-oh, somebody. I don't touch the nerve now. I don't want you to go there and do stuff that's going to hurt somebody. Man, I want you now to do things that are going to lift somebody up so that at the end of your life, they'll be able to say, look how good and pleasant it was for him to dwell in the presence of God and be obedient to the word of God. Come on, somebody. We got that thing that separates us. God looked and he said, everything that I made was good. And I set my crown jewel, which was man, over it all. I set my crown jewel out there, and I looked at this man as he marveled at all these things. And finally, God recognized, I made the man. Everything that I made has a mate, except me. God says, now, man, I'm a compassionate God, knowing that you have need of a mate, a company keeper to complete you, to make your life whole.
Amen.
God says, I'm going to make a helpmeet.
Yes, it is.
Not a walk behind.
Amen.
Not a punching bag.
Amen.
Not a stay at home and have babies and keep the house. I'm going to make you a help me. You can't help me walking behind me. Come on, man. I don't want to upset your day, but I want to upset your thinking. You can't help me walking behind me. But if you shoulder up with me, get right there when my step stumbles a little bit. I don't want you to bear all of my weight. Just give me something I can lean on just a little bit so I can get my footing again.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Then we'll both walk on out together again.
All right.
God said, I'm going to make that woman for you.
Yes, sir.
Pass it on to Adam and say, now, Adam, now that I've made her, what you going to call her? He took a look, and I imagine in time, Adam thought long and hard about this. The word didn't say how long it took him to come up with this answer. But he looked and he said, now, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So this thing that you've made, God, that appeals to me in all of my senses is going to be called woman. She's going to be part of me, and I'm going to walk with her and talk with her. I'm going to enjoy that you love me enough to make something just for me. And then God said, if I'm going to make her for you, treat her right. Treat her like she's special. And see, the world picks up on that thing. Y'all remember that song way back then? You ought to treat her like a woman. Oh, don't act like y'all weren't there once. We were there once, treat her like a woman. And we walked around, treat her like a woman. Treat her like a lady, woman. What we understand, woman, lady. Y'all got what I'm talking about now. Now, if you're going to treat her like a woman, like a lady, then there's some things that you got to do. The Bible said, because she's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, if you ain't going to hurt you, you ought to not hurt her.
Am I going to be allowed to come back?
I just had to check and make sure I'd be allowed to come back, y'all.
Anytime.
Now, men, before God told us what we should be about,
all right now,
he gave us a whole host of things that we shouldn't be about. When we go to Galatians and we look at what God says ought not to be in the spirit of man, Galatians 5:19. Look at what God says to his man. He said, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, embassy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, the like such is never seen before. Look at all the things God said you ought not to have in your life.
All right.
That's a whole lot. So he gave us a clear-cut list of the things that we ought to not be about. We ought to not to be about idolatry. Many of us, we make idols out of our cars. I hear our young boys, our young men now, and they are more interested in having some 24s and some 26s and 28 rims than they are having a God that they can trust no matter what kind of car you're riding on. You see, they call my cars hoopties. I don't care. It's my car. If God has blessed you with that ability to be able to get something really, really nice, that's fine, but I'm gonna take it to the farm. I got stuff out there in my car right now that I work on the farm with. In the back seat. Why? Because I ain't gonna have nothing that I can't use. If God has blessed me with something and it can be of a benefit, I'm going to use it. I can always clean it out. I can always get the vacuum and clean it up and take the plant seeds out of it and take the fertilizer out the trunk. And I can always do that. But I'm going to use it until it's all used up. Then I'll find something else. God tells us he has given us now all of these wonderful things. Then he says now, and just in case you think I'm being unjust, telling you all of the things that you cannot have, I'm going to give you something that the world can't give you. I'm going to give you the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Then it goes on and says, first and foremost, we got to have love. If you do not possess love, fellow, you are not the man God intended you to be.
Say so, man. Say so.
That's the first thing he said. First of all, you got to have some love. Love for the folk, the people that you're around. Love for the folk that you don't even know. Love for the people that mistreat you. Love for the ones that talk about you and still talk about you. Love for the ones that will come to you and take from you. Didn't say you got to love what they do. But you got to love that person. Then God says, I want you to have some joy. It bothers me to see men who have been taught, given the idea that you can never have joy. What is joy? We think that joy is because I got this thing, that thing, or no. Joy is that unspeakable quality on the inside that bubbles up to the outside. So that when you ought to be crying, you'll find yourself blessing God. When you ought to be saying, I'm through with it all, you'll say, I'm going to wait on the Lord, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings of eagle, shall run and not be weary, shall walk. You're going to have some joy to get over your hump, because on the other side of the mountain, there's a valley filled with pleasure. Joy. We speak about joy, the joy of the Lord. God blesses you so much. Have you ever been in a situation that the joy was so good that you, man, didn't worry about whether folks saw you crying or not? Oh, I forgot. Real men don't cry. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Truth be known, our wives and significant friends, our ladies and all that, they have consoled us a many a night when the rest of the world does not see our head resting on your shoulder while we pour our heart out and let the world's pressure bleed off of us. The Bible tells us tears are only the expressions of your heart. Come on, somebody. Not ashamed to cry. It's a shame to act like you can't cry. Okay, I'll move on. Lord, have mercy. Then it says that we ought to demonstrate the quality of peace. We ought to demonstrate that quality of trying not to stir up junk. If every time some junk gets stirred up, your name is in the list of them, chances are you're not a peacemaker. I ain't trying to upset you. Pastor told me I will be able to be welcome back again sometime. Peacemakers. If you always stirring it up, how in the world can you ever let it settle down? You know what they say about cow patties in the pasture. If you keep stirring it, always stink. Sometimes you just got to let it go, let stuff lay, and let it deal with itself. And God will take care of it because you're trying to be that peacemaker. You can't try to get the last word every night. I'm going to have that. I'm going to always have the last word. Well, maybe the last word ain't the best word. Because the best word is that God says that I'm going to repay every man according to his work. And if your works was a work of strife and variance, if your work was witchcraft and hatred, if your work was emulation, I'm going to give you your reward. But just in case you have temperance and meekness, if you have gentleness and long suffering, God says, I've got a reward waiting for you. Can't nobody take your reward. I don't care if Pastor is a giant among men. He cannot move you over from where God has placed you at. Come on, somebody. Pastor got to meet God just like you got to meet him. He's got to stand before God and give an account for the works of this body and of this mind and of our spirit. He's got to stand before God and tell God, here I am, God, naked just like I can't hide myself from you.
Amen.
Because of that, God asks you now to show me. Show me what I need to be. Show me the things, God, the works of the... It tells us now, men, if we've got that Spirit of God on the inside, it tells us we can live by the Spirit of God. We can live. Why? Because sometimes there's just no explanation for the things that you do. I was brought to tears riding down the road this week. My brother called me. He knows that I'm out there in the field, and I created for myself a right. I thought it was a right neat little thing. I went and got my umbrella. I put it up. And I got me an old broom handle. And I taped it to the umbrella. And I stuck the bottom of the broom handle down in my belt. Stuck the end of it down in my pocket. Then I got me another belt. Strapped it around my shoulder, under my arm, around the umbrella. And I went to work out in the field. I was some kind of proud of me. And my brother in Maryland heard about it. He called me. He said, I'm sending you something. He said, I'm going to send you something called an umbrella hat. A what? He said, you're the last one of the family. That still goes out there in that field and do what Pop taught us to do. You're the last one that goes out there in the heat of the day. And you worked tirelessly. You're the last one, and you're trying to stay in a shaded environment. He said, I'm going to send you 3 umbrella hats. He said, they're real lightweight, and they're about 3 foot in diameter so that you can go to your field and work. And I thought about it. Nobody ever thinks about me. And it brought tears to my eyes because I thought that they were not concerned, and they were concerned enough not to say, I found it, and you can buy it, but they bought three of them and sent them to the house. Now I can go to the field, and I got shade in the heat of the day. I'm going to tell you something. God is looking out after you. Woo.
Yes, sir.
Woo.
Yes, sir.
Ah, boy.
Yes, sir.
God's got a way.
God's got a way.
Lord, God's got a way. Now, if you're the man that God would have you to be, we'll understand then that God never leaves your side. If you're the man that God would have you to be, you will be able to attest that God has always stood by your side. If you're the man that God has called you to be, you're not ashamed to let him know you trust him. So while I sing this song, think about who you are, whose you are, where you are, and where you're headed. I don't know about you, but at the end of my life, I just want to be able to tell him that I know he's always stood by my side. God has always stood by my side. He has always been my God. I was too weak to carry on. He gave me strength and made me strong. He stood, come on, brothers, right by. I think I need to say that again. God has always stood by my side. He has always been my God. Was too weak to carry on. He gave me strength. God made me strong. He stood right by my side. Help me sing, fella. Strong. God has always stood by my side. I was too weak to carry on. He gave me strength. God made me strong. He stood right by my side, and he stood even when my friends turned and walked away. My side, oh, he stood right by. Can I take just a minute? You see, the songwriter said, I'm a living testimony. First week in January this year, I slipped down on the ice and broke my thigh bone in two places. Snap! And it flopped out to the side. This was on Wednesday. My son came over and carried me to the hospital. They put that strap cast on there. Said, now, Mr. Barnes, you need to lay off of it. Just get back, put your foot up for about 6 weeks and then we'll check it. This was on Wednesday. I laid down all Thursday. But Friday morning, 24 hours, I got up on my crutches. I made my way out to my truck. I tied a rope to my foot. Picked my foot up. Poked it in the truck. And went back to work. Always, God has always stood by my side when I am weak. God makes me strong. He gives me peace.